Welcome to TFL's Capital Connection, your insider source for both the policy work and the ministry work going on at the Iowa Capitol. I'm Drew Zahn. I have two guests with me here today. I got Chuck Hurley, who works with our elections and policy team, and I've got Greg Baker, Executive Vice President of the Family Leader and Director of our Church Ambassador Network. Fantastic show for you today. But let me just take a moment and say, if you're interested in following and learning more about what the Family Leader does, I want to invite you to check us out at our website, thefamilyleader.com. And if you'd like to participate with us and see more of this good work going on, please do make sure you check out the donate button while you're there. Today's show, every show we try to focus a little bit upon that policy work and upon the ministry work. Today is an exciting show because we are going to focus for a good segment upon the ministry work, upon the both spiritual and very tangible work of breaking bondage, bringing the gospel, bringing healing, and bringing the church to really make an impact upon our government and upon our communities. We're also going to have an opportunity to spotlight one of our major legislative priorities this year, which is facing a deadline looming, big prayer request there on the Baby Olivia bill. But before we talk about Baby Olivia, let's turn over to Greg here, Greg Baker with our Church Ambassador Network, and Chuck, and talk to you a little bit about the significant work and the significant breakthrough that is happening up at the Iowa Capitol and indeed all around the state. For those of you listening at home, I want you to get this word in your head. The word is partnership. Partnership. The Constitution does spell out, and our founding documents do spell out, a certain degree of separation between the role and the sphere of the church and the state. But separate roles doesn't mean divorced in separate worlds. There is an opportunity for meaningful, and we believe, biblical and constitutional partnership. So, Greg and Chuck, tell us a little bit about the history of these partnerships and why they used to be difficult and how we got into where we are today.
So, Drew, let me start with a biblical foundation, and then it'd be good to go to Chuck just to share a little bit of history, what he saw in the 90s here in Iowa. But in the Church Ambassador Network, first, we want to minister to our government leaders in three ways. The first way is as a person, second is as a shepherd, and that third is a partner, and that's really what we're talking about today. How can the institution, the church, and state work together to meet needs? Now, you are correct, Drew. These two institutions are not one, but we really lost our definition of separation of church and state. We see separation of church and state as the two institutions aren't supposed to do anything together. In reality, what our founders wanted, they wanted to make sure we didn't have one institution where government and the church were the same. How we look at it is there's a vineyard, and that is our communities, and the church and the state have different tools in ministering in that vineyard. And what we know as born-again Christians, people are physical and spiritual beings. That is 100% true no matter what. And every physical problem is a manifestation of a spiritual problem. Death being the greatest physical problem rooted in spiritual roots. And if we're ever going to address the physical issues facing our communities, we have to address the spiritual realm.
I love your metaphor there of the vineyard because, again, the modern mind tends to separate so much. And we think, well, the state gets to work in this vineyard over here, and we assign things to state. We assign things like work at the border or our public schools even, and we say, that's the state's vineyard. And then the church's vineyard is over here. It has something to do with feeding the poor or I don't know what. Okay? Yep. We tend to create that. And what you're saying is, I want folks to really understand that paradigm, is no, it's the same vineyard. We're working in the community. It's just different tools, different focuses, different needs, but trying to bless the same people.
And Drew, it's that separation of vineyard that you're talking about that has us in a lot of the difficult situations we're in. We have left the state to clean up a lot of significant spiritual problems. You are in one of the wealthiest nations, if not the wealthiest nation of all human history, and there's not enough tax revenue to resolve it. And the reality, the reason being is the state was never given by God the tools to address it. The state's not doing anything wrong. It's doing the best that it can. It was never designed to enter that realm. And that is why the church must, it must come alongside in partnership and deal with spiritual strongholds.
You know, I think we can really see that in a tangible way because there's also that third institution, which is the family. And we think about kids. We say this to ourselves all the time. These kids in the school, you know, the schools can't do everything. It really takes parents to raise children and schools to work with the children. And we recognize that, oh, same vineyard, two different sets of tools. But there are three institutions of society, family, government, and the church. And we're saying if you are going to meet the holistic needs of, and you can pick any need group you want, poverty issues, drug issues, and really just any need, human need issues, you have to approach it using all of those tools. You can't just ask the government to do it all.
And the family is the foundational institution. It's the original institution. The other two came about because of sin. There wouldn't have been a need for government. It wasn't for sin. And the church comes in to redeem what was broken originally. So in reality, government and the church should be building up the institution of the family. And through the church, God is building the heavenly family. That is what he's doing. The church isn't a building. And I think about the church. There's an incredible example in human history in the scriptures recorded of the church and God's people working together. And that is through Pharaoh in ancient Egypt.
If you look at a representative government, Pharaoh,
that's
yes.
Right. Okay. The only representative of government.
Right, in Egypt. Yeah.
And there's days I'm sure Chuck wishes he could lobby a Pharaoh, and there's days he's thankful that he can't lobby a Pharaoh because too often there weren't good ones. But in this particular time, we knew that a significant tragedy was coming to Egypt.
The famine.
And Pharaoh did not know what it was. God only revealed to him tragedy. And it isn't like our God that he revealed to a prisoner in a prison cell, one of his people, what was coming and the solution for it. What the church has is the ability to see. God gives his people eyes to see. Joseph was able to actually interpret what was coming from the gift of the Lord. And this isn't the only time we see this with kings in the scriptures. We saw it with Daniel as well. And not only does he have the eyes to see the problem, he also had the eyes to the solution. But Pharaoh had the authority to do something about it. And what these two individuals did together was build perhaps still to this date the world's largest food pantry system.
You fed the largest, most powerful nation on earth for 7 years, right?
That's correct. And not only there, but the surrounding nations around them.
Indeed.
And which is the story of a superpower. God works throughout way more than what the Bible records in history. But Bob, the Bible does often record, though, what is going on with the superpowers in that time period. And something that we should not look past, we are temporary residents of the current superpower in history. And this is an opportunity for us to say, how do we, like Joseph did so many years ago, come forward and say, we are going to partner with this superpower to enter the deeper things going on. Now, we're not foolish, Drew. We're not going to get rid of poverty. We're not going to get rid of addictions. We're not going to get rid of all these problems. The sinful nature is here with us until the Lord Jesus returns. But there are people who want to change. There are people who want to transform. There are people that don't want to be stuck in the cycle of a system. And where the church can come in is work alongside and get people out of not only the system, but actually to the life and thriving that God originally planned for them, where they bless people, it says in the scriptures, 60 to 100 times what was sown in them. And that is the Christian story.
Out of the system, out of the bondage, which is a word that's going to come up here in just a minute, mm-hmm. In part through a partnership between government and church and family. But Chuck, such partnerships not that long ago were extremely difficult.
So just real quick, I am the old guy around here, gray hair, was in the legislature in the early 90s, ran for the legislature in the 80s. How long ago was the 80s? 40-something, you know. So it became evident to me in my early days in the legislature that we weren't doing a very good job of partnering. And so there were four of us Christians who got together, and we were talking at that time about welfare reform. Okay, mm-hmm. That was all the rage. And there'd been a book written by one of still my favorite Christian men of all time, Marv Olasky, called The Tragedy of American Compassion. And he examined over 300 years of charity in America. And he mm-hmm. found that at certain times in our history, we did it well. At certain times, we did it poorly. In the 80s and early 90s, we were doing it poorly. And he pointed to the church as being the best place to deal with poverty. And so these four Christians in the Iowa House came to we scheduled a press conference, and we declared that the government of Iowa needed to begin to transition away from big government welfare, secular welfare, no Christ welfare, to churches and families doing more and more and more welfare.
In other words, presenting the idea that no, welfare is not the government's vineyard, it's our collective vineyard, and we need to bring mm-hmm. all tools to bear.
That's correct.
Bingo. And so Marv Olasky really paved the way with his historic research. We love the idea. But what we didn't have, and what Greg has cracked the code on, is having churches ready to perform those responsibilities well. And government officials in high places, i.e. especially the governor, but also legislators, being willing and ready to begin the transition or the partnership to accomplish those things. And so the press conference ended with a thud. The only churches in the room were liberal churches who really didn't believe in the Word of God, and they poo-pooed the idea. And so that was—
So resistance on both sides, yeah. Government and church back in the 80s.
Yeah.
But what didn't work in the 80s, you say Greg has helped to crack the code. Greg, what has changed? How did it change?
You didn't have an intentional relational ministry pouring into state government. The Church Ambassador Network is needed. And what the Church Ambassador Network provides is a neutral hub for evangelical churches to come to that is intentionally, regularly building relationships with government leaders, both sides of the aisle, day after day, election after election, so that when ministry opportunities come, you're prepared to answer. It's relationally built. It's not program built. And something the West has struggled with for quite a few decades now is we just build a program, it's going to fix it. Bottom line is people don't sign up for programs. There's no connection to them. That was a cool press conference, but then they move on. But in reality, the partnerships we're forming today are just overflows of connections with people. And that goes on in your life all the time. People get into difficult situations. All of a sudden, you're going to help them with a car that broke down. Maybe somebody lost their job. I mean, it's just day-to-day life. What we're doing is we're living lives with government leaders, and the natural overflow is like, man, this program is really struggling. Well, let me connect you with some of my friends who work in this area, and let's collaboratively work together. And that's exactly what we're seeing here in Iowa, way bigger than we ever could have dreamed.
Breaking down those walls began with building, actually, relationships.
That's correct.
Essentially what you're saying. And
that's what the Lord Jesus teaches us to do.
And discovering that church and government, again, separate roles, but we're not enemies. And there's trust that can be built, and there's relationship that can be built. And then when we look to ask the question, what's the answer to this problem, we can work towards it as allies. And that's what the Church Ambassador Network, founded by the family leader here in Iowa back in, 2014.
July 2014.
Exactly. Well, we're 10 years down the road. And in 10 years down the road of building relationships, tearing down walls, we're starting to see fruit. So, Greg, talk to us about the fruit that we're seeing now of some of these new partnerships that weren't possible in the 80s, but we're seeing come alive now.
So I want to spend some time just talking about a few things that we have going on this year. And Drew, I'd love to come on and just share even what's gone on in the past leading up to this. But we've really been putting a huge emphasis on the Department of Health and Human Services. It's a large department and houses things like Medicaid, foster care, mental health, so many things, day-to-day life. And it's a department that really exists because of brokenness. So this is a heavy job. It's a heavy department. It seems to be the most natural place if you're going to weigh in anywhere in government. This is the most strategic place to start, and it's what we're doing in quite a few states now. And what we're doing right now is we're working with Health and Human Services in three different ways. The first is we're working with them on the department side. One of the greatest tools that we can give Health and Human Services is strong, healthy social workers. The social workers are the ones that are on the front lines. Think about the police department. Think about the teachers. These are the front lines getting there with the people. Think about what a state social worker sees day to day. Think about the child welfare cases.
Tragedy, heartbreak. Yeah.
Somebody gets in a car accident. Now they lost their job. They're on welfare. They're moving over to Medicaid. They're walking along people on their darkest days.
Right.
So what we want to do is, we want to create social worker appreciation, much like we do with police officers and teachers in the church. So we had just several weeks ago our first social worker appreciation event in Scott County, Iowa. Coram Deo Church opened up their doors in Davenport, hosted over 30 frontline social workers and supervisors that are on the ground well outside the Capitol doing the work. And we just wanted to let them know, thank you. We had one veteran came up that's been doing the job for 28 years. Years. And he said no one's ever thanked him.
Yeah, 28 years in some tough trenches without thank you. And I just want to point out the point in your story as well, that this isn't just up at the Capitol now. This is a partnership that's moving throughout the state where it's needed most. So continue.
It's deep in the communities. And what we heard from every social worker, every single one of them there, thank you. It's so good to be seen. When we put in tireless hard work, we want to be seen. And what we found was not a lot of turnover in these professions. We met a lot of people there 15, 20, 30 years doing this work. And they're not there for the money. They can get more money going into the private sector doing social work. So this is one way we're going to be going to Ottumwa next. Our goal is to do these throughout the state of Iowa, regularly connecting churches on the ground with their social workers. So we do a kickoff event with the director and her senior team. But then after that, when we leave town, it's up to the church and that local Health and Human Service office to continue that relationship. The second area we're working is we want to see more and more faith-based ministries grow in the state of Iowa that can come alongside our state programs. The state programs are large. They're not going away anytime soon. The family is very broken. The United States of America. But we can do a lot of referrals, though, from these state programs to people who genuinely want to change. And we've done this for decades in the addiction world. It's just a matter of taking what we've learned on the addictions and expanding it everywhere else. So Director Garcia, the Health and Human Service Director here in Iowa, she's doing a tour with us that we're calling Breaking Bondage. And we're going, we're meeting with different pastors of the community.
Again, saying, all over the state.
All over the state. Mm-hmm. So we've been in Davenport, Cedar Rapids, Sioux City. We have one coming up in Des Moines. Just inviting pastors saying, hey, if you want to help the department, here's some tangible partnerships we're forming. Help us get these ministries thriving in your town for we can begin doing referrals. So now we're taking care of the department side. We're ministering to the churches, helping them see where they play. The last big piece is the legislative branch. The legislative branch, they kind of build the fence to how Health and Human Services is going to operate. And there is a committee in the Health and Human Services, in the legislative branch called the Health and Human Service Committee. What we are doing is we're bringing in pastors regularly, meeting with the committee members on both sides of the aisle, helping them see what they don't see. We often reduce poverty down to amount of income. The Bible teaches something completely different. Poverty has nothing to do with social economic status. It has solely to do with spiritual status. There are people living in multi-million dollar homes living in utter poverty, and people living in a trailer in absolute wealth. And what we want to do is help them see what they don't see, help them see what is true poverty, what does it look like in their communities, and how do they build a proper road to prosperity by aiming for shalom, which is wholeness. So you can think about how all these things are complementing one another.
All again, working in that same vineyard, helping the folks with the government to see you have allies in the church, helping the folks in the church to say, here's opportunities, maybe some areas that have been pushed off onto the government's shoulders, but no, we need the gospel. We need the church. We need biblical truth and a holistic approach to helping. And just bringing all of these together into the same vineyard, using the tools together, using them better, addressing the full issue that's going on in each of these areas.
And we've been able to communicate the gospel hundreds of times through this. You cannot talk about poverty without the gospel. And in places you never imagined that it'd be okay to communicate the gospel, because they're making it relevant to their work. They're seeing people, they're seeing Christ in a way they've never seen him before.
Fantastic, Greg. We're looking forward to more from you and your department in future episodes here. But before we go, Chuck, I just want to touch, because there is a timely legislative issue that we're looking at as well, the Baby Olivia bill. What's going on there?
Sure. This Thursday is the last day for the Baby Olivia bill to get out of Senate Education Committee. And we sent an email out to our supporters 10 days ago. We had good to great response from
sent
that
it out
email.
To those who are in the district. So if you didn't get one, one of your legislators isn't in the right district.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so now it's a matter of, we did get some traction. We've heard that maybe there's going to be a hearing on it today or tomorrow, and then get out of full committee by Thursday. So prayers requested for the Baby Olivia bill. It would teach literally hundreds of thousands of Iowa school children the beauty and sanctity of preborn babies.
If we're going to have mandated health and human development classes, let's actually talk about human development from womb to the tomb, I guess. But yes, yeah. Let's talk about human development. All right. So learn more about the Baby Olivia bill at our website, thefamilyleader.com. You can watch the video there. You can see the scientific evidence that backs up every single line. And I just encourage you, you'll learn more about the Church Ambassador Network as well, and how you can get involved, how you can support at thefamilyleader.com. Thank you for listening to this week's TFL's Capital Connection.
This podcast is a project of the Family Leader and the Family Leader Foundation, and is only possible through the generous support of our donors. If you would like to partner with us in our work, please visit thefamilyleader.com/give.